Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Let's bring Him more than a song. Let's Him bring more than a song.
When the music fades,
yeah,
and all is stripped away, and I simply come.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm longing just to bring something that's of worth, that'll bless your heart. Say, I'll bring you
more than a song.
For a song
in itself,
it's not
what you have required.
You search much deeper within.
Through the way things appear.
You're looking
into my heart.
So I'm coming back.
I'm coming back to the heart of
where it's all about you.
Where it's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
I'm sorry, Lord,
for the things I've made.
When it's all about
you. When it's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Oh, though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I will bring you more. For a song in itself,
it's not what you have.
You search much deeper within,
Through
the way things appear,
you are looking into my heart.
So far. It's all about you, Jesus.
Yes,
it's all about you.
Hallelujah.
Say this. More than a song I'll bring. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. So more than a song. So more than a song I'll bring. It's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you, God.
It's all about you.
That's why I'll bring more than a song to you.
More than a song now.
It is all about you.
It's all about you.
It is not about me, God. So I'll bring more than a song to you. Say,
more than a song now.
It's all about you, God.
It's all about you.
All this is for you, Jesus.
It's all about you.
So more than a song we will bring to you, God.
More than a song now.
It is all about you. But it's all about you.
It's all about you.
It is all about you.
It's all about you.
More than a song. More than a song I'll bring. More than a song I'll bring.
Yeah, go ahead and give him a clap for it. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
More than a song I'll bring. More than a song I'll bring.
Bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name.
Bless
I will bless the Lord, oh, my soul.
Somewhere who cannot even put his hands together, who cannot even lift his hand right now, because the musicians, now appreciate yourself and appreciate your neighbor. You at home also appreciate yourselves. Come on, give him a clap offering. Give me a clap offering as you take your seats in the presence of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may take your seats. in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't he a good God? He's a good God. We praise him because he's good. In whatever situation you are going through, he is good. That does not negate the fact that he's good. You may be going through thick and thin, but he's still good. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Mandele Bosha. Romans chapter 12. He talks about rejoicing in hope. Romans 12, 12. It's what he says. Rejoicing in hope. We rejoice in hope. In hope. In hope. That word hope means that what you're rejoicing for, you have not yet received physically. There's a difference. You see, you cannot see it. You cannot have it before you see it. You cannot have it physically before you see it spiritually. If it cannot enter your mind, if it cannot enter your system, you will never have it. Do you understand that? If it is too big for you, you will never have it. You've got to conceive it in the mind of your womb, and that is called hope. You understand? The Bible says that you cannot hope for something that's already there. Is there anybody in this place who has hope? That's why we rejoice in hope. Somebody is saying, why am I even thanking God? I'm still in this situation. You are late. You will be late. If you are waiting to rejoice when it is here, you are late. That's not faith. Faith is what? It's the substance of things hoped for. You have it now before you have it. If you understand what I'm saying. So the moment you have it in your system, you rejoice in hope. He says rejoice in hope. Romans 12, 12. Rejoice in hope. So we are thanking God for the things he has done in our lives. But we are also rejoicing for the things that he's about to do. And somebody shouts amen. Rejoice in hope. I rejoice in hope to see the goodness of the Lord in this land of the living. I believe. I have faith. And this is what he says. Being patient in tribulation. During this is a time of tribulation, friends. There's heartache in every corner of the world. There's mourning in every corner of the world. You turn on social media, everything. This last week has been something else. Everything, you see people just rest in peace, rest in peace, rest in peace. But even in that, he says, be patient. Let's be patient. Let's be patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in hope, in prayer. Continuing steadfastly in what? In prayer. We will continue to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We want to pause and remember this morning those people that are going through thick and thin as we speak. They've lost their loved ones. Some of you at home. Very loved ones have just gone to be just like that. Young men, young women. Questions abound. But take comfort in the Lord and know that he is still in charge. He's still on the throne. He still loves you. Whatever it is that you are going through, you are going to go through. As a matter of fact, you are going through it. You will not die in that fire. No. You are coming out. You are coming out. So we speak comfort to those homes, those families that have lost friends, that have lost husbands, wives, you know, brothers and sisters. Yesterday we lost a very, very dear friend, a pastor. A very powerful man of God in Uganda. Pastor Stephen Semfuma, he went to be with the Lord. You know, we like saying lost. I hate that word lost. Because we know where he is. You know, if I know where my kids are, I can't say they are lost. So we know where Bishop Semfuma is. He is in the presence of the Lord. That's where we are going. And that's where we are going, all of us. That's where we are going. Yesterday was his day, and guess what? Tomorrow may be mine, another person. We don't know. All we need to do is be prepared. Remain prepared. Are you ready? In case he calls and summons you this morning, are you ready? This is a man who preached about the inner man. His main message, his central message was about the inner man. Say, the inner man never dies. What dies is the body. The tent in which you live, that's what dies. But the inner man does not die. He lives on. The question is, where is he going? In hell or heaven? You make the decision now. When you still have time. So if you're out there or you're in this place, you need to give yourself your life to Jesus Christ. Now is the moment. Accept him as Lord and Savior and prepare. Because any time is tea time. We used to have that saying, there's a brand in Uganda of tea. And their mantra was, any time is tea time. Any time. Somebody say any time. Now say it like you had breakfast, any time. Yeah. Prepare. So we want to thank God for what he has done. The past 18 months have been hell. Must I say? Lockdown upon lockdown. People dying, people in hospitals, people everywhere. For you to be sat in that chair and still breathing is a miracle. Hallelujah. It is a miracle. Some people in this place have gone through COVID. They have suffered and they have recovered. Some have... Come on. It is a miracle for you to be here. You know, I was just there worshiping and my tears were just swelling in tears. I saw one of my daughters here, Miriam. When I saw Miriam walk in here today, I was flabbergasted. If you want to talk about pain in the body, go and ask that young lady sat there. She has been through thick and thin, but for her to be, she's been online. In fact, Facebook rates her as Shiloh Tabernacle number one, fan number one. Fan number one. This girl has been through thick and thin. She has died and come back. People have said, she's dead, she's gone, but she's here. Come on. I don't even know how you made it here. You see, when I saw her, Miriam is a person who puts to shame people whose I don't even know how to put it. Your body is fine, you are okay, but to be in the presence of that, this lady has got hunger, a passion for God like I've never seen. She welcomed ministers in this land from Rwanda. Oh my God, she has been a bridge. She is a bridge. She is a bridge. Miriam, we are so honored to have you here in the name above every other name. And for you being a part of this family, we thank God for you. We thank God for your life. We thank God for protecting you. I think you came in here as a sign for us to thank God even more. You have no idea. I cannot go into details, but you have no idea. Just take it like I said it. For her to be here is a miracle. And I want to thank God for children. You know, when you have a child, it's David. May God bless you, sir. Her son, David. David is something else. I've never seen a young man like him. He takes care of his mother like never. Come on. Appreciate that young man. Oh! Come on. Yeah. Yeah. He has cared for his mother. He has gone where young men have gone through other things to enjoy other things. He's not there. He's taking care of mama. When other kids were going to university and lodging in university, he said, no, I will commit from home because I need to be with mama. May God richly bless you, son. Your reward is immense. My God, and some people will say, I want to be like David, but you have no idea what he has been through. You know, you look at people and say, I want to be like them. I wish I would be like him. You have no idea what they have carried, what they have had to endure. This young man has endured a lot and continues to do so, and without any complaint. Recently, Miriam lost her sister. Young sister. Stoke-on-Trent? I went there. I conducted that ceremony. I observed this young man, the way he was looking after his mother. I gave up. I just saluted him. May God bless you, son. May God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We give you the praise. We give you the praise. We give you the praise. Today is a day of thanksgiving. Today is a day of thanksgiving. I want you to picture, to get into the every eye closed, wherever you are, even you at home. Just close your eyes for a moment and just pause and just pause and just play a video in your mind, in the eye of your mind, and see where the Lord has brought you from, where He has brought you to right now. Begin to see the journey, and you realize that it has not been by power, it has not been by might, it has not been because you are smart or because you are educated or because you are connected. It has been by the hand of the Lord. Take that journey and see. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Begin to thank Him wherever you are. Thank you, Jesus. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A people who are thankful are a people who are thankful. If you are thankful, you will say it. You will begin to say words. You will begin to show, to do things that show that you are appreciative of God. We thank Him, for everything belongs to Him. And in Him we live, move, and have our being. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, King of Kings. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. You can come and sit. Take some seats here. There's a seat there. Don't worry. You are promoted today. Hallelujah. All belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Everything that you have, everything that you ever had belongs to God. Hallelujah. As we thank God, there are some things, there are some principles that I want us to look at and understand. Number one is the principle of ownership. Father, we give you the praise. I just feel like getting into the world. The word of God will do. There are some things that I have to do here, but we'll do them later. The principle of ownership. Understand the principle of ownership. Father, we thank you for the word. The entrance of your word brings light. Teach us this afternoon. Elevate us this afternoon. Challenge us this afternoon and take us to another level. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Principle number one, ownership. God owns it all. Hallelujah. He does what? He owns it all. This is a fundamental principle of biblical stewardship. We have been talking about being faithful. Faithful in the talents that God has given you. Faithful in, what did we talk about last time? Time that the Lord has given you. And today we're talking about being faithful in the treasure that He has given you. Everything that you have belongs to Him. He is the Lord. The word Lord means owner. He's the person, he's the one who exercises absolute ownership. That's why I said, if some of us think that we have our lives, when the Lord decides to summon you, I don't care how much money you have. There's a man called Carnegie, he tried to buy time. He put aside $200 million many years ago, but he's not here today. You can't do it. He is the Lord. He is the owner. He owns everything. Do you understand that? A man called C. Lewis said, every faculty you have, your power of thinking or of moving your limbs from moment to moment is given by God. And when I say that, my daughter is here. She can testify about that. You just wake up and just throw your... somehow you find your limb on your leg on the floor and you think it's automatic. It's a gift. It is a gift. Right now I'm stretching my hand. It's a gift. He says, if you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to His service, you could not give Him anything that was not in a sense His own anyway. Everything belongs to Him. Psalm 24 verse 1, the Amplified says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and they who dwell in it. That includes you. You and I are owners of nothing. You own nothing. You do not even own yourself. That body you wake up in the morning and throw into the bathroom, and you are there for hours. us. You're not beautifying this, you're not cutting that. Some of us try to counter the gray hair. I don't want people to see my gray hair. You have nothing. You own nothing. That is a fundamental principle. Ownership belongs to God. I am not, my life is not my own. We sing that song. I give myself. Do not confuse possession with ownership. Don't confuse it. You are a steward. Principle number two. The principle of responsibility as a steward, as a guardian of this life, first and foremost, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is why you must not be drinking and smoking and eating everything that comes your way, because this is a temple that God has given you. You cannot be sexually promiscuous, sleeping with everybody, left, center, and right. You cannot misuse the body that God has given you. You are a steward of that body. A steward is a person who oversees the possessions and interests of the owner. Somebody say amen. You came with nothing, you will live with nothing. You need to know that. There was a man who was called Job, very rich man, very wealthy, had many children. In one day, he lost everything. He lost his children. One day. It just takes a day. The Bible says in Job chapter 1 verse 21, this is what he said: naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even when he lost everything, he still thanked the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then I come to people who like gathering and hoarding. You hoard stuff, you hoard, you are, hey. Hey, somebody say hey. Psalm 39 verse 6 says, surely every man walketh in vain, surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and does not know who shall gather them. Is gathering riches bad? No. But we're not supposed just to gather and keep. You are a steward of everything he has put in your possession is for his use. And whenever the master calls upon it, you have got to let it go. You are a distributor. You are not supposed to be a hoarder. Somebody say, I am a distributor. The reason some of us just, you know, remain wherever we are is because we pray wrong. Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. Lord, that is a good prayer, but that is not a great prayer. The great prayer is, Lord, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Change that prayer. Make me a what? A blessing. And God is looking for blessers, because he wants to touch a life somewhere in Africa, in Asia, in this country. But through, he's looking for a person. Now, if you are the one, this kind of people who are hoarding, you are supposed to be a conduit. In your houses, you've got taps, you've got, you know, some of these kids here don't even know where the water comes from. But where we grew up, we knew where the water came from, because we were the pipes, we were the conduits. I normally tell people here that I should be a tall guy, carrying jerrycans of water on my head. They deformed me. You carry water from a valley to a hill. When I grew up, I said no, I refused that. And at my home, I refused that. Many years ago, I dug, God help me, and I dug a 2,000 liter underground tank so that they collect rain, every rain that can be. They have got to have water at home. I said no more. No person should go what I went through. People have got to grow tall. So you open a tap and water just flows. But should one day should the water stop, what do you do? You are on the phone calling the plumber. Plumber. What is the plumber? The plumber is going to look at the pipe. If there's a pipe that is blocked, that is not causing water to come from the Thames, wherever it's coming from, into your house, what will they do with that pipe? What will they do with it? Huh? Answer me. What will they do to that pipe? Come on. They will remove it and replace it with a pipe that passes water. Hallelujah. God is looking for blessers. He's looking for pipes. That's why he told Abraham, I claim the blessings of Abraham. Isaac, you cannot claim the blessings of Abraham if you are a hoarder. Abraham was blessed to be a blesser. I will make you a blessing. And all the families of the world will be blessed through you. Stop praying these prayers. Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. That is myopic. That is selfish. Listen, you cannot take your money to heaven. I don't care how you are keeping it. You cannot take it. I've never seen a person being, you know, loaded in a coffin with all his money and with all his properties. Never. That's why we gather and we don't. Right now you are here in this UK. Some of us work like crazy, and which is good. Work. Do not forget to give to the Lord. Do not forget that things belong to the Lord. When you are gone, there are some people who are already to take what you have been building. And they did not even break a sweat. So while you still have them in your possession, make sure that you are a blessing. Look for channels. Hallelujah. You cannot take your money to heaven. But guess what? You can send it ahead of you. You can send it ahead of you. Hallelujah. How do I know? Jesus Christ said it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures where on earth, where there is moth, where rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Lay your treasures in heaven. Send your money ahead of you. I am sending mine ahead of me. There's a story of a beggar who asked for a gift from one who appeared to be a very wealthy lady. She gave him a coin, saying, this is more than God has given me. This is more than God has given me. Do you know what she was saying? She was given out of abundance. God had given her, but she knew that she had more than enough. So out of the more than enough, she was giving. So the beggar said, old lady, everything you have has been given to you by the Lord. The woman said, true. But God has not given it to me. Listen, it remained his all the time. He only loaned it to me to do what? To distribute to others. Hallelujah. Whatever you have is not all for you. You have got some to take, but others are to distribute. You are a distributor, not just a consumer. We are stewards, not consumers, and we need to give freely. Because everything belongs to him. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 14 to 16. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you. And of your own have we given you. Of his own. We give him. Even this afternoon we are coming to thank him. I don't know what you are prepared to thank God for with. But whatever it is, whether it's £1, it's up to you. Whatever it is, it has never been yours. It has been his all along. Hallelujah. Verse 15, for we are strangers before and sojourners all as our fathers were on earth. Our days on earth are like a shadow, just like a shadow. There's no abiding. You cannot stay here forever. I know you have indefinitely lived to remain in the UK. I know you are British, but you're not going to be here forever. Can't abide. 16, our Lord in all his abundance
that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name all comes from your hand. They come from your hand and all is yours. You are a steward, friend, responsible to manage all the resources of life to the glory of God. God wants you to be a careful person who controls and manages his possessions that he has entrusted you with. Hallelujah. You have to be responsible with the wealth. You have to be responsible with the possessions. That's how stewards operate, by obedience. Stewardship is a commitment of oneself and possessions to God's service. Yourself and the possessions to service. Some people say, I'm just sending my money. For me, I will sit here. No. Even you, you've got to be involved in the service. Hallelujah. A steward is always open-handed. A steward is always open-handed. Now, some of us, our hands are like... Somebody just tighten that fist with all your strength. Come on, tighten it with all. Tighten that fist right now. Right now. I command you. Say that man is commanding you to tighten the fist. Yeah. Come here, Sweden, with that fist. Why aren't you taking this? Why? He can't take it. Why? Because his hand is... He's holding. What are you holding on to? A steward's hand knows, is always open-handed, because he knows the master may recall it at any time. You and I need a paradigm shift. Your money is not yours. Your houses are not yours. Your car is not yours. Some people say, they can't step in my car, you know. Yeah. You know how much it costs for me to valet this car? When the master calls, there's no grave that can fit that car. You are just a manager. God does not give us increase so that we can be more comfortable or advance in our lifestyle. He gives us more so that we can give more. But giving involves incremental steps. Number one, there's initial giving. This is then there's proportional giving, and we'll talk about this later. Tithing, giving according to how you earn, proportional living. Then there's sacrificial giving. You see, when you begin tithing is a principle. Let us put it this way. Let's break it down. You have 10 beads. I think it's Minister Busulo who explained it well last week. You have 10. 10. That's 10. If you are struggling to give just one to God, then you are pitiable. 10 pounds. One. Let's do the coins. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10. If you cannot bring it to yourself, to say, Lord, I'm giving you one of these. Just that is a tithe, is in the minimum that you can offer. So if you are struggling to tithe, you have never started giving. If you are struggling to give just one to the Lord, you haven't given. That's just the best. That's how we honor him. With his, not ours. I'm not promising that the blessings will always be tangible. But there's a blessing. You see, when we talk about the blessing, people think about money, about property, about things. No. There's something called the blessing. It is like a garment. It's like a garment upon you. That blessing, that thing called the blessing, attracts the physical, the tangible. Before the tangible can happen, there's something that goes with you called that blessing. Now, there are three kinds of givers. I don't know which one you are. There's the piece of flint. This one is hard. It's hard. He's sedimentary. He's like a mineral. This kind of person. You see, when you talk about sedimentary rocks, we don't want to talk about things like chalk and limestone. To get anything out of limestone or chalk,
guess what? You must apply a serious hammer to break it into small chips and sparks. And that's how some of us are. For you, for somebody to give, you need to come with a serious hammer and begin to hammer. And then some bits of chips will begin to fall off. Are you a flint? I don't know who you are. Then there's a sponge. To get anything out of a sponge, what do you have to do? For some of us, God has got to first squeeze us to get anything out of us. Squeeze. Just see even how my mouth has gone. Squeeze. Are you a sponge? But there are some who are like a honeycomb. Hallelujah. A honeycomb just overflows with its own sweetness. Overflows. And this is how God gives to us. Our God is an overflowing giver, and he wants you to give like him in return. Hallelujah. That is a grace. A person who comes to become like a honeycomb is one who has gotten the grace to give. Giving is a grace. And you must ask for it this afternoon. I need the grace to give. I need the grace to be a distributor. I am tired of just, you know, being a consumer, thinking about me, my wife, my children. Come on. You are much bigger than that. You are much bigger than that. You are much bigger than that. Hallelujah. When it comes to giving, some people will stop at nothing. I have seen givers in this house. Yeah, if you give us in this house, we'll stop at nothing. They give until it hurts. Give until it hurts. There's a time when we gave, you know, we had the Mercedes Benz, we walked, drove it, we were still in Shiloh, in Liberty. We went and we were in this service, and the Lord began to speak. This guy is not going away. We can't fight with this, but how will we travel? How will we do that? You begin all these excuses. I turn to my prophetess. I say, what do you think? God is saying this, and the witness was already there. After the service, walk to the pastor. He says, what is this? I think they were trying to just enter the building and were trying to raise some money for refurbishment. He said, the car, we're giving the car. I said, what? Giving the car. Elisha, I don't know how old he was. Then we started the bus route. Elisha began to say, what did he call it? The Peckham bus. He used to call it 177. He used to call it the Peckham bus because we went on the bus. That day, it hurt. Somebody say it hurt. That's what I'm talking about. Giving until it hurts. Now, the problem with some people who give until it hurts is that they are so sensitive to pain. Now, if you are so sensitive to pain, you will not give until it hurts. Hallelujah. Are you making a living, or do you want to make a life? Are you making a living, or do you want to make a life? Aren't you tired of just making a living? Don't you want to make a life? Hallelujah. Somebody once said, this is what Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get. Hallelujah. But we make a life by what we give. Winston Churchill. Why? For living, giving is living. Giving is living. Giving is living. Giving is living. Everything that is propagated, somebody has got to let go. The food that you eat, somebody had to sow. Somebody had to put, had to let go of some stuff. Giving is what? Living. Someone asks, and must I give again and again and again? I gave last year. Should I be giving again? And again, that's the question that is on the minds of flints. That's the question that's in mind on sponges. You haven't gotten the revelation. You haven't gotten the grace. Did you breathe last night only, or are you still breathing?
Are you going to continue breathing tomorrow again and again? Yeah. Must I give again, again? Is it giving? Hey. Yes, you must. You must give. Yeah. See, listen. Just give until the Lord stops giving you. Give until the Lord stops giving you. As long as the Lord is still giving you, breath in your lungs. Give until He stops, until He calls you home. Give! Until He calls you. You get more than you give when you give more than you get. The reason some of us are in the rat race is because we are hoarders. Just begin giving and you will see. It is a truth. It's not a fact, it's a truth. You see, some of us, God does not even want to bless us at times because He knows when God blesses a man, there are two things that happen. He either gains a person or He loses him. When a Christian gets rich, God either loses a man or gains a man. Example, there are many who will ask for you, Lord, bless me with this, bless me with a job, bless me with. The moment they get it, God will never see them again in His presence. And for some of us, the Lord loves us too much. That's why He's saying, no, I will not give you too much because I know you. When I was growing up, you know, I was an alcoholic. I was all sorts of things. And whenever my mother would hand me money, as I was, she said, I know you. I'm going to give you this, but I know you. It's not going to pass even that little bar there. I know you. She knew me. And she could not give me a lot. She would give me just something to get me by. Because in my blood, there was too much alcohol. So I needed just a little bit of alcohol to keep sane. So she would just give me a little. She could not entrust me with much because she knew me. She knew that I would not get to school without passing. And there's a bar where they give me money. I would spend a week in that place, in just a town, between my school and the village. A week. Drinking. So some of us, God knows us. He knows you. He can't give you. He can't entrust you with a lot because He knows that it will not pass on to another. That's why you need the grace of giving, my friend. A man called Apostle Paul, who wrote almost half of the New Testament, his ministry, one of his major missions was to take special offerings for relief for the Christians in Judea. That was one of his significant missions. And Paul is one of the apostles who kept remembering the Beatitudes, what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5. And he penned in, the Bible said, Luke wrote about him in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It says, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of Jesus himself. He said, it is more blessed to do what? To give than to receive. Say it after me. It is more blessed. I want believers in here. Only if you believe it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Somebody say amen. Listen, have you heard people being honored? Have you ever heard any person being honored because he received something? We are going to this. This year we want to honor Pastor Ruben because he received £10,000. Nobody ever honors him for receiving. People are honored for giving. They are honored. Honor is a reward of giving. You want to be honored of God, be a giver. Listen, he who earns is an industrious man. He who spends is a well-furnished man. He who saves is a prepared man, but he who gives is a blessed man. Hallelujah. Which one would you want to be? Paul liked to collect, to get offerings, to go and help others. But he came to a church called Corinth. The Corinthians were so stingy. The Corinthians were not as churches in other places where he was going, where he had gone.
Like many people, they had made promises, but they were not fulfilling them. How many people have made vows? Lord, if you give me a job, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do this. And the moment it came, ooh, you forgot all the vows. And you think he has forgotten. So these Corinthians had made promises, but they were not fulfilling them. And Paul had to come and, you know what, and begin to instill that habit that may develop stewardship in them. Why were they so, stingy? It is because they had low spiritual capacity. The spirit level of the church was low. When a church is not spiritual, it will not be generous. And when I'm talking about a church, I'm not talking about the walls. I'm talking about you. If you're not spiritual, you will not be generous. Because I'm telling you, giving is spiritual. Giving is spiritual. It's a grace. Paul knew that it would be difficult to get the Corinthians to participate. So he lifted up their spirits. He taught them that giving was an act of grace. And he used the example of the Macedonian churches, which included the church of Philippi, Thessalonica, and others. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace that has been given among the churches of Macedonia." They had been given a grace. He says, "I want you to know that." Just like today, God wants you to know that there's a grace for giving. Somebody said amen. Giving is truly a ministry and a fellowship. It is a ministry and a fellowship. But it must be motivated from the grace of God. It is a grace. It is a wonderful thing when Christians enter into the grace of giving. When they really believe that giving is more a blessing than receiving. And then Paul began to highlight the proofs that the churches in Macedonia had a grace. Number one, we give in spite of circumstances. We give in spite of circumstances. In that scripture, verse 2, he says, "For in severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty had overflowed in a wealth of generosity in their part." That is just, it's a conundrum. Their poverty is high, but guess what? Increases. Also, their giving. I just can't, you can't compute it. They're experiencing difficulties, yet they are being generous. They were not just going simply through affliction. These guys were in poverty, but they were giving. I don't know how they are doing it. It's a grace. Listen, givers are not necessarily rich people. You don't have to be rich to give. No. There are people who are rich, but they don't give. They were in poverty. They had no excuses. There's a little girl who was going to church and the dad gave her $2 for offering. She began to jump. As she was going to church, she was hopping up and down, skipping, little girls. And as she was skipping, one of the dollars fell through the drain. She said, "Oh my God," she couldn't get it. She said, "God, there goes your dollar. This one is mine." Isn't that how most of us are? When things hit, said, "Lord, that was yours. This is mine." Excuses. We need a grace to give in spite of circumstances. Number two, we need to give enthusiastically. Verse 3, "For they gave according to their means," "as I can testify." Number one, they gave according to their means. Then they took it to another level. They began to give beyond their means, of their own accord. Nobody was there to shake them. "Oh, there's a blessing of £1,000. £1,000 here. Anybody with £1,000, come and receive it." No. They did not need cajoling. Out of their own volition, they gave beyond their power. Over and above their income. That's why I was talking about a tithe, a ten. We talk about it in the Old Testament language, but it's a simple thing. Just separating just one for God. Proportional giving
versus extravagant giving. For some of us, we find it even hard to give proportionally. How are you going to give extraordinary? You want extraordinary blessings, and you are still giving. Even you are struggling to give proportionally to your earnings. You are in trouble, my friend. You need the grace of God. Give according to your income. If you give according to your income, God makes your income according to your giving. How many people want their income to be more than what they get? You want your income to increase. If you want your income to increase, you've got to increase your giving. A farmer who wants more harvest, he's got to sow more. And so it's just giving. You need grace. For they gave according to their means, but they also went ahead. It is possible to give generously, but not enthusiastically. They begged. These guys begged for the opportunity to give. The next verse. They begged. Paul, can we give? Have you ever seen a Christian begging a pastor? Pastor, I want to give. I want to give. They are begging. There's this film that I watched recently called The Honest Thief. You need to watch it. The Honest Thief. The Honest Thief is a man who was a bank robber. But after some time, he came back to his senses and said, you know what? Enough is enough. I want to give back this money that I've been stealing. So he calls the FBI to give them the money. And the FBI think they are joking. The man literally begs them, come and take the money. I am in this place. Come and take the money. I am tired. I want to get rid of it. They begged for an opportunity to give. Hallelujah. Giving that is spontaneous. Somebody say amen. Not by fire, not by force, no. You need to give out of your own volition. You understand? Extravagant giving comes from the heart. It's a grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6, as we begin to close, to bring this to a home, to a close. Paul begins to use the language of a farmer. He uses the language of a farmer. And he says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. You cannot expect to reap, you know, bountifully if you are sowing sparingly. It is a principle. It is a principle, and it is a principle that applies to you whether you are born again or not. It is a principle. That's why we have got men out there in the world that are giving seriously, and that's why they are reaping seriously. God is a farmer. From the beginning, he's a farmer. He says, unless a grain falls into the ground, it abides alone. So sowing is scattering. That word sow, the Greek word for sow, is to scatter. When I was growing up, my mother would sow millet. And whenever she was sowing millet, she would just hold and begin to scatter. She holds and scatters because she wants more, so she scatters. So a sower scatters seeds. You need to be scattering seeds. Hallelujah, as a farmer. Amen. So he says, he who is sparing cannot afford to reap bountifully. Jesus, God did not spare when he gave his son. He did not spare. He gave his only begotten son. Bountiful giving. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That is not a blessing that comes to sparing givers. No. A good measure can never come to you if you are a sparing giver. No. Forget about it. Proverbs 11:24 says, there is he that scattereth and yet increases. He scatters, but somehow he's increasing. And then there's one who withholds more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. He only suffers want because he's a hoarder. Do you understand that? We need to give until the calculator cannot calculate. If a human calculator can calculate your giving, you understand? I go back to the tenth. While you are still struggling to calculate the tenth, which is the lowest, the minimum giving. Some people are giving to at higher levels. Jesus Christ one day stands at the treasury as people are giving, and he watches. The Bible says in Mark chapter 12, from verse 42 to 44, many people gave, and rich came and gave. But then there was a poor widow who came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, she has given more than anybody else. You know why? Because God measures our giving according to how much we remain with. That's how he measures your giving. Jesus spoke about the minimum of the tenth of your income, and he endorsed it. In Matthew chapter 23, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. It says, these you ought to have done. It's okay to tithe, but you have been neglecting some others. You have been just doing the minimum. You need to go higher. This is what he was telling them. Go higher. Listen, the people who come from the Dubai, that Emirate area, they give 30% of their income. It's a principle. 30%. 30%. And we enter into Dubai and we say, wow. Wow. They have got a secret. There's a man called Colgate. William Colgate was a young man. One of the oldest American, you know, industrialists. At 16, he left home to seek for fortune. And everything he owned that day was just a bundle in his hand. But as he walked along his way to the city, he met an old neighbor. And the words of the old man that he spoke to him stuck with him for his entire life. He said, William, where are you going? William said, I don't know. I don't know. My father is too poor to keep up with me. And I must go out and get a living for myself now. He had no skills, William, except what he knew was to make soap and candles. Well, said the man, let me pray with you and give you a little advice. There in the pathway, he knelt down. Both of them knelt, and the man began to pray. He says, someone will soon be leading the leading soap maker in New York. It had better be you. I hope it will be you. Says, be good, be a good man. Give your heart to Christ. Give the Lord all that belongs to him. Every dollar you earn, of every dollar you earn, give him what belongs to him. Make an honest soap. And I am certain you will be a very prosperous and rich man. So when William arrived in New York, he had trouble finding a job because he didn't have any skills. Soon he got a job. Somebody say he got a job. This is what he did. He remembered the words of the man. He dedicated himself to Jesus Christ. He found a church. He joined the church and started worshiping there. The first thing he did with the first dollar he earned was to give 10 cents to the Lord's work. From that point on, he considered 10 cents of every dollar as sacred to the Lord. In fact, he soon began giving 20% of his income to the Lord. Then he raised it to 30%, then to 40%, then to 50%. And late in his life, he became super successful and began to give 100% to the Lord. I guess that this morning, if not all of us here, used Colgate to brush their teeth. Colgate died many years ago, but that company still exists. Other business leaders, one man called Jake Croft, head of the Kraft Cheese, who for many years gave 25% of his income to Christian causes. He says, the only investment I have ever made which have paid constantly increasing dividends is the money that I give to the Lord. Rockefeller Senior. He said, I have tithed every dollar God has entrusted to me. And I wanted to say, if I had not tithed the first dollar I made, I would not have tithed the first $1 million I made. If you can't tithe in one, if you cannot give the Lord. Let me stop using that word tithe because it confuses us. If you can't give just one to the Lord out of 10, you think you're going to give him 100 when he gives you 1,000? It is impossible. Wallace Johnson, the founder of Holiday Inn. Anybody ever stayed in Holiday Inn? The founder was a Christian. This is what he says. I am totally dependent on God for help in everything that I do. Otherwise, I honestly believe I would start to fall apart in months. God is looking for cheerful givers. That's what he says as we finish in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Everyone must give as he has decided in his heart, as you have decided in your heart. I should not stand here as a pastor and begin to cajole you. Give 1,000, give 10,000. No, I will never do that. Never. In this church, you will not find it. You have got to give according to your heart, what the Lord imprints on your heart. Not reluctantly, Paul says, not under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. Choose in your own heart, commit yourself, take time to think it over. As we're about even to enter into Thanksgiving, think. How am I going to thank God? With a tenner? With £100? Whatever it is you and your God. Do you understand what I'm saying? He loves cheerful givers. Giving is not something that we must do. It is something that we must become. We must be a giver. It's the grace of God. Extravagant giving comes from the grace of God. Listen as I finish. Give while you're still living. Give while you're still living. There is a rich man who asked his friend, why am I criticized for being a miser? He says, everyone knows that I will leave everything to charity when I die. Everyone knows I will leave everything to charity when I die. Well, his friend looked at him and says, let me tell you about the pig who was lamenting to the cow one day about how unpopular he was. The pig was unpopular. And this is what he was saying. People are always talking about your gentleness, the cow, and how you have kind eyes. In my culture, there are people who talk about, oh my God, this girl has got eyes like a calf. You know, they begin to, the way they talk about their cows. And the pig was saying, people are talking about you so much. This is the pig. Sure, he says, you give milk and cream. He says, but I give more. I give bacon. I give ham. I give bristles. They even pick on my feet, and nobody likes me. Why is this? He asks. The cow scratched its head and thought for a minute and replied, maybe it's because for me, I give while I am living. Because for a pig to give pork, to give all that it's saying, it must be dead. So give while you are still living, while you are still breathing. Hallelujah! Be a distributor of God's resources and not a consumer. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah! Now stand on your feet. Wherever. It's okay. I'm still using it. Thank you so much. Later on. Hallelujah! Stand on your feet wherever you are. Lift your hands to the Father. And you at home as well. If this message has been yours, begin to receive it right now and say, Lord, turn me into a distributor. Bless me and make me a blessing. That King of Kings, I may graduate from just being a flint, being a sponge. I want to be a honeycomb.
I want to be a man and woman who gives out of my own volition, who gives proportionately, who gives beyond my means, who gives extraordinarily. Give me that grace, King of Kings, to become a distributor of your resources. Father, I give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. I pray for your children, Lord, that King of Kings, you will make them the men and women that you created them to become, that they may be conduits of your blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Give him a clap offering where you are.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.